Okay, so today we're going to dive into something that I think is really, really important for anyone in commercial real estate.
Yeah, this is a big one.
It's the Building Lifecycle Management Initiative.
BLMI.
Yeah, BLMI. And we've got a whole stack of resources to dig through
A
here.
lot to unpack.
Yeah, we've got this white paper that's making the case for why BLMI is so important.
Laying out the arguments.
Then we've got this really cool look at how the tech world has kind of gone through similar
Get
changes.
drawing some parallels.
And then there's this deep dive into master data management and how that all fits in.
Super important piece of the puzzle.
So, like, our goal today is to really try to make the case for why BLMI isn't just like a nice to have.
Right.
It's like essential.
It's the future. It's where things are going.
Yeah, for the whole industry to really thrive long term.
Exactly. Especially given all the challenges the industry is facing right now.
Yeah, because we're talking about increasing operating costs.
Huge pressure there.
Tenants who want more and more and more.
And they have more options now than ever before.
Right, and then all these regulations coming down the pipeline,
It's a lot.
it's a lot to juggle.
So the idea here is to give you the tools you need
Right.
to not only support BLMI,
But to become like a champion for it.
an advocate.
Yeah, spread the word.
Because when the whole industry benefits, everyone wins.
So let's start with this idea of life cycle thinking.
Right, from the white paper.
What's the problem with how things have been done?
Well, traditionally, CRE has been very siloed.
Siloed, how so?
You've got your design team,
Right.
your construction team, your operations team, all kind of doing their own thing.
Okay.
But the decisions made in one phase can have ripple effects.
Down the line,
Yeah, and it can get expensive.
give me an example.
So let's say the architect specs this fancy material.
Okay.
Looks great, saves money during construction.
Sounds good so far.
But then fast forward a few years, and the thing's a nightmare to maintain.
Oh no.
Energy bills are through the roof.
So the operations team is stuck.
Exactly. And who pays for that?
The owner.
The owner and the white paper talks about how this can lead to needing major retrofits,
Like within the first 10 years.
which could have been avoided if everyone had been on the same page from the
Yeah.
start.
So it's like short-term thinking leading to long-term headaches.
And those headaches are getting more and more expensive.
Yeah, energy costs are going nowhere but up.
Regulations are getting stricter.
And tenants have so many choices now.
They're demanding sustainable buildings, healthy buildings, flexible
Or
buildings.
they don't have to settle.
Nope.
So this is where BLMI comes in.
It's the solution.
So how does it actually fix these problems?
BLMI is all about integration.
Okay.
It connects every stage of a building's life,
From start to finish?
from the initial idea to demolition or repurposing,
So everyone's working together.
towards shared goals,
Which are?
resilience, efficiency, tenant satisfaction.
And because everyone's connected, the data flows.
Yes, decisions in one phase are informed by data from other phases.
So you're not operating in a vacuum.
Right, leading to smarter decisions over the entire life cycle.
So it's a more joined up way of doing things.
Exactly.
Okay, so the white paper lists a bunch of benefits for BLMI. Let's break those down.
Let's do it.
The first one is happier tenants.
Strong tenant satisfaction.
Right. So how does BLMI lead to that?
Well, when you're thinking about the whole life cycle, you're thinking about the people who will be using the building.
The occupants.
Right. And that means considering their comfort, their health, their productivity.
So what kinds of things are we talking about?
Good indoor air quality.
Okay.
Flexible layouts that can adapt to changing needs.
That makes sense.
Energy efficient systems that keep costs down and the planet happy.
So it's about creating a better
Which
experience.
leads to happier tenants.
And happier tenants are good for business.
Absolutely. They renew their leases.
They tell their friends,
It builds a strong reputation for the building
leading to long-term stability.
and higher property values.
Which brings us to the next benefit.
Enhanced asset performance and value.
So how does BLMI boost the value of a property?
BLMI helps owners and investors understand the long-term costs and potential returns.
Okay.
It encourages proactive maintenance.
So you're not just reacting to problems
Right. You're anticipating them.
and upgrading strategically,
Investing in the building's future,
which all leads to
stabilizing net operating income,
NOI.
and increasing the asset's value over its entire life.
So it's about playing the long game.
Thinking beyond the next quarter or even the next year.
Okay. The third benefit is reduced costs and better sustainability.
Two birds, one stone.
How does BLMI achieve that?
By considering the life cycle from the very
The
beginning.
design phase?
Exactly. Life cycle cost analysis helps you choose materials and systems.
Okay.
That might cost a bit more upfront, but save you money over the long term.
Because
they use less energy, require less maintenance, and last longer.
So it's about total cost of ownership.
And minimizing environmental impact.
Sustainable and cost effective.
Exactly.
Okay, so benefit number four is streamlined decision making and transparency.
Data-driven decisions.
How does BLMI help with that?
Standardized beta frameworks and digital tools enable real-time performance monitoring.
So everyone can see what's happening.
Yes. All stakeholders have a clear picture of how the building is operating.
Based on?
Accurate, up-to-date data.
So you're not guessing.
Or relying on outdated information.
So decisions about resources, maintenance upgrades,
can be made more efficiently and effectively.
That makes sense.
It's about empowering stakeholders with the information they need.
Okay. And the fifth benefit is staying ahead of the regulators.
Regulatory and compliance advantages.
How does BLMI help with all that?
When you're managing a building with a lifecycle perspective, you're naturally more prepared for changes in regulations.
So you're not scrambling to catch up.
Exactly.
Because you've been thinking about these things all along.
From the start.
So you can avoid those last-minute costly changes.
And potential penalties.
Right. So it's about being proactive.
Anticipating the future.
Now, to understand why BLMI is such a big deal,
it's helpful to look at how the industry has traditionally operated.
Right. The white paper talks about this short-term focus in CRE.
Historically, it's been all about quick returns.
Get in, get out.
Exactly. Not a lot of thought given to the long-term implications.
So why is that changing now?
Well, a few things are happening.
Like?
Energy costs are skyrocketing.
Yeah.
Tenants are demanding more.
Higher quality, more sustainable.
Climate change is a real concern.
And then regulations are tightening.
So the industry is being forced to think long term.
And BLMI is the framework.
The solution.
For a more sustainable future.
For the industry and for the planet.
Now, to make this happen, you need a lot of people on board.
Collaboration is key.
The white paper talks about allies and participants.
Different, but equally important roles.
So who are the allies?
Organizations and individuals who support the initiative.
Providing resources.
Expertise, technology, advocacy.
Okay, and the participants?
Those are the folks actively implementing BLMI.
In their day-to-day work.
Exactly.
So let's go through some of the key players.
Let's do it.
Starting with investors and developers.
They're the ones with the vision.
So their role is to
embed lifecycle thinking from the very beginning.
So before the first shovel hits the ground.
Even before that.
During the conceptual phase.
Right. They need to prioritize long-term value over short-term savings.
Make sure sustainability is a core consideration.
From day one.
So it's about setting the right tone.
Creating a foundation for success.
What about building owners? What's their responsibility?
They need to translate those lifecycle considerations into action. Okay. Develop a long-term management plan.
With clear goals.
For performance and longevity.
And allocate resources accordingly.
Invest in maintenance, upgrades, energy efficiency initiatives.
So they're putting the plan into practice.
Making it a reality.
And for those big players, the corporate and institutional owners.
They have an even bigger responsibility.
How so?
They need to make sure their real estate holdings align with their overall goals.
Financial performance.
But also ESG.
Environmental, social, governance.
It's all connected.
So BLMI becomes part of their broader strategy.
For sustainability and responsible investment.
Now let's talk about the architects, engineers, contractors.
The AEC professionals.
They play a huge role, right?
Absolutely. Their decisions have a major impact.
On the building's performance.
Its sustainability, its lifespan.
So they need to
integrate lifecycle thinking into their designs.
Choose materials and systems accordingly.
Thinking about long-term performance and resilience.
And of course, none of this works without support from the top.
Leadership is critical.
What do leaders need to do?
Provide resources.
Money.
But also time expertise.
Okay.
Foster a culture that values long-term thinking.
Break down those silos.
Encourage collaboration.
So it's about creating the right environment.
For BLMI to flourish.
Now, what about the folks on the ground?
The property managers? The facility operators?
They're the ones dealing with the day-to-day.
They're on the front lines.
So what's their role in all this?
Property managers need to implement those life cycle strategies.
Keep things running smoothly.
Optimize operations. Keep tenants happy.
And the facility teams.
They're using the data and insights from BLMI.
To make sure the building is running efficiently.
And sustainably.
Addressing maintenance needs proactively.
Minimizing disruptions.
Keeping everyone comfortable.
Exactly.
And we can't forget about the tenants themselves.
Their feedback is crucial.
Why is that?
They're the ones experiencing the building firsthand.
So they can tell you what's working.
And what's not.
Which helps you improve operations.
And create even better spaces.
So it's a continuous loop of feedback and improvement.
Exactly.
Now, the white paper also talks about the initial focus of BLMI.
It's not trying to boil the ocean.
Right. They're starting with specific types of properties.
Office and retail.
Why those two?
They tend to have more data available.
From building automation systems.
Occupancy sensors, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And they're also more open to innovation.
Because of the competitive market.
Tenants demanding the latest and greatest.
So it's a strategic choice.
Start with the sectors that are ready.
Prove the concept.
Then expand from there.
To other asset classes like healthcare or hospitality.
Which might have their own unique challenges.
And speaking of challenges, the white paper doesn't shy away from the obstacles.
It's not always going to be easy.
So what are some of the major hurdles?
Well, first, you've got the cultural resistance.
People stuck in their ways.
Those silos are hard to break down.
And then there's the data problem.
Fragmented data, different systems that don't talk to each other.
A lack of standardization.
Exactly.
And of course, there's the money issue.
Budgets are tight.
People are worried about the cost of implementation.
And the time it will take.
Right, so BLMI might seem like a luxury.
When there are more pressing concerns.
And if the incentives aren't aligned.
If different stakeholders aren't all pulling in the same direction, that can be a major roadblock.
It's like a team sport.
Everyone needs to be on the same page.
And then there's the technology piece.
Integrating new systems with old ones
can be a nightmare.
Especially in older buildings.
Right. And you need people who know how to use these new tools.
So training and workforce development are essential.
Making sure everyone has the skills to succeed.
And then you've got the regulatory maze.
Different rules in different places.
Keeping up with all that can be daunting.
So BLMI needs to be flexible.
Adaptable to different contexts.
And finally, you have to keep everyone engaged.
Stakeholders can lose interest if they don't see the benefits.
So communication is key.
Transparency, accountability.
Making sure everyone feels like they're part of the journey.
Right. It's a long-term commitment.
Now, the white paper also outlines a sequence for overcoming these obstacles.
A roadmap for success.
What's the first step?
Start with culture.
Okay.
Build a shared understanding of the value of BLMI.
Get everyone excited.
Show them the potential.
Create interdisciplinary committees.
To foster collaboration.
Get leadership on board.
Visible commitment from the top.
And start with pilot projects.
Small wins to demonstrate the benefits.
Proof of concept.
Exactly.
Once you've got that cultural foundation.
You can move on to the data.
Which means
standardization.
Getting everyone speaking the same language.
Adopting common data formats.
So the systems can talk to each other.
Seamless data sharing.
That's step two. What's next?
Align the incentives.
Make sure everyone's rowing in the same direction.
Use contracts and financial models to reward long-term thinking.
Like green leases.
That incentivize sustainability.
Performance-based agreements.
Tying rewards to life cycle goals.
So everyone benefits from success.
Right. It's a win-win.
Okay, step four is training.
Investing in people.
Giving them the skills they need.
To leverage data analytics BIM technology.
So they can become BLMI champions.
Proactive problem solvers.
And the final step.
Engage with regulators.
Show them the value of BLMI.
Advocate for supportive policies.
Streamline permitting.
Incentives for sustainable practices.
So it's about shaping the landscape.
Creating a more favorable environment for BLMI.
Now, how do you actually measure the success of all this?
You need metrics.
What kind of metrics?
Energy use intensity.
EUI.
To track reductions in energy consumption.
Okay.
Occupant satisfaction scores.
To see if people are happy.
Lease renewal rates.
To measure tenant retention.
Maintenance cost reductions.
To see if proactive maintenance is working.
Even the time it takes to resolve work orders.
A measure of efficiency.
So you can track progress.
And demonstrate the value of BLMI.
To stakeholders and to the industry as a whole.
The white paper also highlights the support from industry groups.
Yeah, this is huge.
Like, who are we talking about?
IFMA, BOMA, ULI, AIA, RICC.
Oscar International.
SHRA, USGBC.
The list goes on.
These organizations are providing research setting standards, offering training.
They're advocating for BLMI.
They're creating a network of support.
So it's not just a few people pushing for this.
It's a movement.
A collective effort to transform the industry.
For the better.
And BLMI isn't a one and done thing.
A journey.
A process of continuous improvement.
Regular audits to identify areas for optimization.
communities of practice to share knowledge.
Embrace new technologies.
Like digital twins and predictive analytics.
To get even smarter about building management.
So the goal is
industry-wide adoption.
Across all asset classes.
In every corner of the world.
A more resilient, more efficient, more sustainable CRE sector.
That's the vision.
Now, you mentioned this document that compares BLMI to what happened in the tech industry.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
So the tech world went through this massive transformation.
From mainframes to the cloud.
And there are lessons there for CRE.
Absolutely.
So what can we learn from the tech world's experience?
One of the biggest takeaways is the importance of open standards.
Like what?
TCP/IP, the protocol that makes the internet work.
Right.
Because it was open and widely adopted. Everyone could connect.
So it fueled the growth of the internet.
And in CRE, we're seeing similar things happen with standards like ISO 19650 for BIM and OSER for data exchange.
Laying the groundwork for greater collaboration.
Another lesson is the power of industry-led initiatives.
So not just top-down mandates.
Right. The internet wasn't created by government decree.
It was a grassroots effort.
Involving universities, tech companies, early adopters.
A collaborative approach.
And that's what BLMI needs to succeed.
Buy-in from across the industry.
Working together towards a common goal.
And the tech transformation also highlighted the problem of fragmentation.
All those proprietary systems that couldn't talk to each other.
Like different languages.
Creating silos, hindering progress.
And CRE faces a similar challenge today.
With all the different building management systems and software platforms.
So BLMI needs to address that.
Encourage interoperability.
Create a more unified ecosystem.
Where data can flow freely.
So the document draws a direct comparison between the state of tech before the internet.
And where CRE is right now.
So what are the parallels?
Well, before the internet took off, you had these closed systems.
Like mainframes and early PCs.
Limited connectivity.
Proprietary software.
And that's kind of where CRE is with building management systems.
Often operating in isolation.
Fragmented data.
Limited integration of smart building technologies.
So we're at a similar starting point.
But the pace of change has been different.
The internet revolution happened pretty fast.
CRE's digital transformation is slower.
More gradual.
Why is that?
Well, real estate is physical.
Buildings last a long time.
So change is slower.
And the industry can be conservative.
Not as quick to embrace new technologies.
And then there's the regulatory landscape.
More complex, more oversight.
And the financial investment is significant.
Upgrading infrastructure isn't cheap.
So it's a more complex journey for CRE.
But we're moving in the right direction.
So the document tries to place CRE on the same timeline as the internet.
Where are we now?
It says we're at the late 1990s stage.
The early days of the internet boom.
Lots of new technologies emerging.
But still fragmented.
Standardization is still evolving.
Investment is pouring in.
Like the dot-com era.
But consolidation is coming.
And we're still waiting for that killer app.
The Google of CRE.
The platform that ties it all together.
Exactly.
Now, the document also looks at whether industry-led change is more effective than top-down mandates.
What's the verdict?
Industry-led wins.
Hands down.
Why is that?
Because it's more pragmatic.
Focused on real-world needs.
Driven by the desire for improvement.
Yeah, just compliance.
Like the shift to cloud computing.
Businesses adopted it because it made sense.
Not because the government told them to.
And the document compares that to the OSI model.
A networking standard that was too complex.
Never really took off.
While TCP/IP thrived because it was practical.
And the same goes for electric vehicles.
Government regulations are important.
But it's consumer demand and innovation from car companies.
That's driving the shift.
So standards are important.
But they're not enough on their own.
You need industry buy-in.
People excited about the possibilities.
Working together to make it happen.
Exactly.
So what are the catalysts that typically drive these big industry shifts?
Well, the desire for efficiency and cost savings is always a big one.
Makes sense.
And then you've got competition.
Companies wanting to stay ahead of the curve.
And regulations can play a role.
Setting the bar.
Creating a sense of urgency.
And then there are technological breakthroughs.
Game changers.
Like the smartphone.
And finally, risk mitigation.
Companies wanting to avoid problems.
Protect their assets. Their reputation.
So it's a combination of factors.
Pushing the industry forward.
Now let's talk about master data management.
A critical piece of the BLMI puzzle.
This third document really dives into it.
So why is master data management so important for BLMI?
Because BLMI is all about data.
It's a data-driven approach.
You need good data to make good decisions.
And that data needs to be managed, effectively.
From every stage of the life cycle.
Design, construction, operations, maintenance, renovation, decommissioning.
It all needs to be captured.
And integrated.
And accessible to everyone who needs it.
Otherwise, you end up with data silos.
Inconsistent information.
Garbage in, garbage out.
So master data management is the foundation
for a successful BLMI implementation.
And the document talks about a cultural shift that's needed.
From silos to collaboration.
From hoarding data to sharing it.
Transparency is key.
Recognizing that good data benefits everyone.
It's an asset to the whole organization.
So it's not just about technology.
It's about people and processes.
A new way of thinking about data.
And the document breaks down how master data management plays a role in each phase of the life cycle.
Let's go through a few examples.
No.
Starting with concept and design.
That's where BIM comes in.
Building information modeling.
Capturing all those design details.
It's specifications, models, material choices.
And master data management ensures that information is accurate, consistent, standardized.
So everyone's working from the same playbook.
And that data can be used later on.
During construction, for example.
Or for renovations down the line.
To analyze energy performance.
Or do life cycle cost assessments.
So it's about creating a digital twin of the building.
That evolves over time.
Now, what about the construction phase?
That's where you've got project management software.
As built drawings.
Master data management helps you track schedules, manage costs.
Document any changes from the original plans.
So you have a complete record of what was built.
Which is essential for future operations.
And for any renovations or retrofits.
So it's about creating a digital history of the building.
That's accurate and accessible.
And then you've got the operations phase.
Where the building comes to life.
And generates tons of data.
From all those building systems.
HVAC lighting security.
Occupancy sensors.
Master data management helps you make sense of it all.
Clean it, integrate it. Analyze it.
So you can optimize performance.
Identify maintenance needs.
Understand how the space is being used.
It's about turning data into insights.
That drive better decisions.
And then there's maintenance.
Keeping everything running smoothly.
Master data management is crucial here.
You need to track maintenance schedules.
Work orders, asset histories.
Condition assessments.
Master data management ensures that information is accurate, up to date.
So you can plan maintenance effectively.
Track the performance of equipment.
Optimize costs.
Extend the lifespan of assets.
And the document also talks about renovations, retrofits, end-of-life regulatory compliance.
Master data management plays a role in all of those.
Because the data from previous phases is still relevant.
It informs decisions in later stages.
Whether you're updating BIM models after a renovation.
Or planning for decommissioning.
Or generating reports for regulators.
It all comes back to data.
And the document has this really helpful table.
Showing how different data types are used across the life cycle.
Like design parameters or energy performance metrics.
To highlight those connections.
And there's a master data mapping workbook, too.
To help you visualize those data flows.
So it's a comprehensive approach.
To managing data throughout the building's life.
Now, finally, let's talk about the maturity model.
A way to assess your BLMI journey.
So what is this maturity model all about?
It's a framework with 6 levels.
From level 0 to level 5?
Level 0 is basically no BLMI.
Ad hoc reactive.
Level 1 is starting to think about it.
Basic documentation data collection.
Level 2 is standardizing processes.
Implementing basic data management.
Level 3 is getting more proactive.
Integrated processes, central data repository.
Level 4 is leveraging technology.
Predictive analytics AI.
And level 5 is the holy grail.
Fully integrated, data-driven.
BLMI is embedded in everything you do.
So it's a way for organizations to see where they stand.
And identify areas for improvement.
And the key takeaway is.
It's not just about technology.
It's about people and processes.
How well you manage the entire life cycle.
So take a look at the model, see where you fit.
And start thinking about how you can level up.
So we've covered a lot of ground today.
A deep dive indeed.
But I think the message is clear.
BLMI is essential.
For the future of CRE.
It's about creating better buildings.
For happier tenants.
For a more sustainable planet.
And for a more profitable industry.
It's a win-win-win.
So as we wrap up here, I want to leave you with this thought.
Okay.
When you consider the long-term value, the efficiency, the resilience that BLMI can bring.
Right.
Is your organization ready to embrace this change?
To become a leader in the movement.
To shape the future of commercial real estate.
That's the challenge.
If you want to learn more, visit BLMI.org or email info@BLMI.org.
Get involved.
The future is waiting.
Let's build it together.
Thanks for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.